Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
All right, we're recording.
Recording, everybody. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Where together we'll uncover what we can learn about modern dating, love, and relationships from popular television. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And today, for our Bachelor recap, we are joined by a very special guest. Mm-hmm. He has interviewed all of your favorite TV stars and pop culture icons on his podcast. Literally name anyone or anyone and everyone you can think of in the Bravo sphere specifically. He has somehow managed to drag the tea out of them. And he also happens to be a member of Bachelor Nation and is joining us today for today's recap of Monday and Tuesday night's episodes. Please welcome the host of the Behind the Velvet Rope podcast, David Yontef.
What an introduction. I feel so welcome.
Good.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, we're happy to have you. I think it'll be a fun episode. We've been trying to get this together for a hot minute, so I'm glad to have you here.
I'm excited.
Nice.
And you're here for a double episode. That's exciting.
I know. It's a thick week. Thick week.
Yes.
There's a lot going on.
Yes, there is. So first, some warm-up questions, David. What is your relationship to The Bachelor? Like, when did you start watching?
This is when I start to date myself. You know, I usually lie about my age. You know, I didn't start the first season, but I started right away with Bachelorette. I started with Trista Sutter.
Wow, okay. Nice.
So, right. Was that like officially the second season, I think? Was that what it was?
Yeah, I guess it was season two. Yeah.
Of the franchise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I started right then.
Okay, so you go way back. Love that.
Way back.
Okay.
It's changed a lot over the years, but yes, I started right at the beginning.
It has. Yeah. One night, I don't know, we were just a bottle of wine in and started looking at the posters for the...
Oh my God. Over the years.
Show? Over the years? Woo! They've made a lot of changes over there.
Trista's was crazy, I remember.
Trista's
was like,
wild.
Like up in the air with like men like holding her or something.
Holding
like that.
Her. Yeah.
It was weird.
It was so problematic.
Yes.
Who is your favorite Bachelor or Bachelorette lead?
My favorite lead is probably, you know, I'm so old school. So I do like Trista. I loved Andrew Firestone.
Oh wow. Okay.
And I know it was a controversial season and there's a lot of ups and downs. I love Matt James. I do. Wow.
Did you?
I do.
As a bachelor? Really?
Yeah. I know. I have like...
Interesting.
It's an unpopular opinion. And you know what it is? I also think that I am... Like when I have certain people on my podcast, then I interview them, then I feel like, am I really objective anymore? So I had Matt on my podcast and I had such a great... like interview with him that it just kind of, you know, like I think that kind of, so maybe if I step out of it, I wouldn't, but him, I loved Andrew Firestone and I love Trista. I know those are like really old school.
I love the reference to the franchise pass. But yeah, that is interesting about Matt. Like when you, it's hard when you get to know them and get to know the person behind what we're edited to see, it definitely does humanize them a bit. So I could definitely see that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, we've never gotten those answers. I think.
No.
Well, you know, there's just a lot of recent, I don't know, I'm not in love with a lot of the recent choices.
I hear you. I don't think production was either. So
yeah, no. Production hated them. So there was that.
That's fine.
What celebrity or Bravo-lebrity are you low-key always checking in on? Like, you don't follow them on your main account, but you just check in on them to see what they're up to.
So, like, you mean through a Finsta account to, like, spy on them and see what they're up to?
Yeah, or just, like, not even a Finsta account. It has to be that serious, but you just look at them and see, what are you doing? Larsa or whatever, whoever it is.
Larsa's a good one. Especially today.
Especially today.
Which I'm so confused by all of that. But I feel like I'm always checking in on, like, Teresa. I just always want to know.
Really?
What's going on with Teresa. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she's got a lot going on. Mm-hmm.
And you know who I truly, truly low-key have to go through and check in on a Finsta because she blocked me is Lisa Rinna. I always want to know.
Oh, she blocked you?
Oh, sweetie, I'm blocked by lots of the housewives.
I'm sure.
You know, you have an opinion. Yes. Look,
wow.
Here's the thing about being blocked is, you know, no one tells you why. You're just not like saying, so you have to go back and figure out. Because I actually love Lisa Rinna. I loved Melrose Place. I've said great things about Lisa Rinna. I think she was a great housewife. So when I realized I was blocked, I'm like, what did I do? The only thing that I can think of is, you know, after she parted ways with Bravo and she's no longer on the Housewives, I said, like, look, just admit it, girl. You were fired. Like, I don't care who says they sent what email or whatever. I'm like, you did not leave this job. And I just, I'm like, that must be it. It must just be that I said for weeks that she's fired when she was putting out a different narrative, which, I mean, didn't everyone say you were fired? So
right. Those girls get real funky about fired and not fired. Dorinda is still, I am on pause, as if we have not been on pause for
Dorinda, like, years. Six seasons.
She still has a little something to say about that. Right. So I check in on Lisa a lot just because I like Lisa Rinna and I want to know what she's up to. And I do have to truly do it through a fake account because I'm blocked.
Lisa.
I know. That is a pain.
Oh, that's so odd.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's
interesting.
I don't
know if we're blocked by anybody. We've said a lot of
shit. I would love to know if we're blocked by anybody.
That's so wild. Yeah.
I feel Bachelor Nation, like the people that are on, just from my experience, it's been much more, you know, I think housewives take things more personally than any other category.
I think so too. Because they make so much money and revenue off of their personal opinions and image that other people's opinion of them who have platforms could possibly be damaging to their businesses maybe or influential to those businesses. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, which doesn't really make sense to me because you figure like these people in Bachelor Nation are like sleeping with each other. Like we really, you know what I mean? It's it's more, it should, and people have dated and they've broken up and they've been engaged. And yes, it also gets messy. I don't think it gets as messy. I don't know. Yeah. I just think they handle it better.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it rolls off their back way easier.
A little bit more.
I do.
That's so interesting. So you were recently very heavily featured on an episode of Real Housewives of Miami, which loved seeing you appear on there. Loved that line from Gertie, did I see you on the podcast? Is like one of my favorites. I loved it. Loved seeing you on there. But I think it would just be interesting to have a discussion about how Bravo treats independent podcasts versus The Bachelor. And I just think it's interesting how there's like Watch What Happens Live and there's a lot of independent podcasters that go on that. Andy has his own podcast, but is like very open about recognizing other podcasters and like all of them for furthering the audio storytelling narrative. And The Bachelor is the complete opposite. Can you talk about how Bravo has treated you so far as an independent podcaster?
It's, you know, listen, I think it's an up and down, ever evolving relationship. You know, yeah, I think Bravo certainly embraces it more because I really can't think of any example in Bachelor Nation, right? Where they kind of work someone into like an after show or
no.
Ooh, no, you know. Never that.
Yeah.
So no. You know, look, I mean, it's you get a lot of shout outs, right? Like, you know, yeah, it's I think, yeah, considering Bravo has their own, like Andy has a podcast and now like Bravo kind of has their own thing.
Right.
They do kind of spread the wealth. And I think they just kind of realize that, you know, it is promotion right back to your show. It's all a good thing. I mean, when I was heavily featured on two back-to-back episodes of Real Housewives of Miami, yeah, I promoted that night and day on my Instagram and all over my socials. Yeah. And how is that a bad thing for anyone, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think there's a lot of there's, I'm sure, a lot of executives who are probably straight and white sitting around wondering how Bravo came to be what Bravo is now over the past 10, 15 years of Housewives. And part of it is embracing these independent creatives who are furthering the narrative. Do you agree?
Yeah. And I agree with all of that. I think like the marketing on like, where is Bachelor Nation Con? You know what I mean? Where is MTV
okay.
Con? Like, it's like, right. And Bravo Con makes a ton.
So
it's like, if you think about it, like I've always said this, I don't really understand it either, because if you think about it, it's brilliant marketing. Like the numbers on Housewives are small now.
Mm-hmm.
Most Housewives are under a million.
Mm. Yeah.
You look at like the numbers on Bachelor on ABC, they're huge compared to like Housewives. Beverly Hills is just over a million. And we'll see what Jersey does when it returns, but that's it. I mean, Miami's like 400,000.
You're talking watchers, right?
Yeah. Like, just,
yeah.
So, I mean, if you look at the numbers, it's so small on Bravo, all the numbers. And yet it's such a marketing, it's a marketing genius of a machine, right? And so, yeah, they just, you would think like the people that are running ABC would take a look at this and say, we're sitting on like just tons of lost revenue here. Like if there was a Bachelor Nation Con and you you had the Trista and you had the Currents and you had like, you know, daters that stood out. And I mean, you could do so much with it.
So much. Yeah.
So much.
Yeah, that is true. That and just their lack of embracing the wider community, the creators, the podcasters, the independent folks that create the conversation all week long. So very bizarre. We talk about it quite a bit here. So
yeah, we do.
It is very bizarre to me as well. You know, that there's not, you know, like if you're going to do like an hour and a half episode of The Bachelor, you know, or an hour, like why can't, you know, you'll have to see a program. Like there should be some like Watch What Happens Live type after show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which even if like 10, 20% of your audience left the room and didn't want to watch that, that's still pretty good ratings. Like you're just losing out on, and that's where they could really work in people like yourselves and just like figure out a formula that works.
Absolutely. How did you start your podcast and how did you decide like interviewing reality stars was the lane that you wanted to be in?
Well, it started in a different format. I mean, it started, I really was hanging out with certain reality stars, you know, like I lived between New York and LA. And I mean, I was really full-time New York at that time. So it was more just like, what am I going to do with all this? Like it, the theory when it started, and it wasn't, now it's 7 days a week. It wasn't 7 days a week when I started. It was, it really started like a Wendy Williams, like kind of like we can go out and have a drink at night, Countess Luann, but I'm going to talk about it the next day on the air. And so it was really, that's where like the name behind the Velvet Rope came from. It really was like these interactions, which became my norm. I don't necessarily find all of them so interesting, but if like I step out of this, people probably do want to know, did Luann have three drinks last night? Did she have no drinks? Did she leave me sitting at the bar and go home with someone? Like these little tidbits, I'm like, okay, so
all questions I had, yes.
Like all questions. So it really was like that, like Wendy Williams of like, oh yeah, by the way, I was out with so-and-so last night and here's what happened. That's kind of how it started. And then the pandemic happened and then it just morphed into interviews because like everyone was home and I reached out to a lot of people and everyone said yes. And I'm like, I didn't realize all these people would say yes. And so, and now it's like a combination of that, the interviews plus gossip and just like what we're doing here today and just talking about what's going on the episodes. And so it's kind of like morphed and grown, but I didn't really ever think it would be as big as it is. It wasn't really why I started it.
Right.
I mean, who doesn't start it to have it be a real thing?
Right.
But it just kind of became that. And then the more it kind of grew, I was like, oh, this is a real business and I need to like lean in times 10 because who knows when this is going to go away here. It hasn't in 5 years, knock on wood. But, you know, like I'm humble and like anything could happen in this crazy business that we're in.
Yeah. Wow. Shout out to Wendy Williams being an inspo.
Right. I love that. That's one of the inspos. And like Howard Stern and like so like both of them, Wendy kind of that. But then like when it came to interviewing, like Wendy and like Howard of like, you know, let's just cut through it. Like, I don't really care what other questions you're being asked. Like, these are the actual questions that the actual people that are watching want to hear. And I know this is like off the cuff, but like this is actually the question people want the answer to, not this other BS. So that's kind of a Wendy style too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
Put the bullshit.
Yeah.
And you've interviewed a ton of people, as we said in your intro. Do you have a favorite interview moment? So not just the interview itself, but like a moment that you're really proud of as an interviewer.
I can't think of any examples. I mean, like last year, like one of my favorite interviews was like Juicy Joe Giudice, like Teresa's Joe.
Oh
like
my
that was,
God.
Oh, that's a good one. That's
just cool. Someone like that where it's like, you know what it is? You never know what to expect from someone. So like when it's a big interview, it's kind of like, it really could go both ways. There are people that I have been so excited to interview and you get on and you're like, oh, they're just, they're flat. They're giving you one word answers. They are just not play. So someone like Joe, not that I am scared of anyone, but you could just see Joe being like over it and giving one word answers and just like, ugh. But I would never say no to that. So I'm like, we're doing this. I just was like, and it will be a thing because it's Joe Giudice. But I was like blown away. I mean, we talked about ice. We talked about what was it like in gym. Like he was just, so it's like, it's kind of that, like when you're heading down that path and you realize like, oh, this person is down to play. That's when you're like, because you just don't know. Like someone like that, I would be like, I could see him be like, no, no, whatever. And just like, okay, well, we have 55 more minutes. How are we going to fill this time? But he was down for like, now we're going to talk about Louis. What do you think of Louis? How, what are your thoughts on like how he's treating your daughters? And like, he just, it was like anything could go. And you just get that vibe of like, okay, where like you're like not nervous, but you're like, this is like maybe a once in a lifetime. It's a big interview because like, who's he doing interviews with really? And like just, wow, this guy is great. So it's kind of like, there's been moments with that where you're like, not really, you're like, oh, this is going to be a pain in my ass for an hour. And then the person turns out to be wonderful.
Yeah. Interviews can be very touch and go like that.
Yeah.
You just don't know. You know the kind of answers you want to pull out of them when you craft out the questions, but you just don't know how they're going to show up. You don't know how open they're going to be. You don't know how in bed they still are with the network. And so they try to keep give a safe interview, which is not obviously that interesting for your listeners. So it's, interviews can be tough. All right. Well, before we dive into the recap, we do want to chat a little bit of Bachelor Nation news. So I have a couple things for you guys. First, the ABC producers, I don't know if you saw this, Justine, absolutely
I did.
Flopped on a recent panel that they were on with a bunch of major TV showrunners, and they were asked about diversity and racism in the franchise, and it was a floppity flop flop. So we will definitely talk about that. We have a new big announcement regarding Golden Bachelorette. Daisy is breaking some social media records. So we'll chat about that. Oh. Miss Daisy here.
Okay.
Also, Thomas a la Becca and Thomas.
Yeah.
Spilled some tea on his IG
Stays out here.
He loves to get to yapping.
His NDA
story
is up. Yes.
So yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that. And then Rachel Lindsay got a new haircut, and I want to talk about it.
Yes. I would love to.
Yes. If you want to listen to our episode ad-free with our juicy Bachelor Nation news segment, make sure you join the Rose Garden over at Patreon. Head to patreon.com/twoblackgirls1rose. You can also watch us on video, and you can tune in for Two Black Girls Watch, mm-hmm. which we just wrapped up Insecure Season 1. Mm-hmm. We are now going to start watching old episodes of Millionaire Matchmaker.
Can't which wait.
I have not seen in like a decade. So
do you know that I was excited on that show?
You were.
No.
And let me tell you something that is, I didn't, listen, this is going to sound like a stupid statement. I didn't realize the power of Netflix. So now I guess, I don't know what they added, just seasons 3 and 4.
Just 3 and 4. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm in season 4 as like a featured person. So
what?
I just think, right. So I mean, what do I know that this was on? But my DMs went absolutely insane of like, because you know, like people that listen to the podcast don't,
yeah,
I've talked about it before. It's just like not like every day that I'm like, by the way, yeah, back in like yeah, 2010.
Yeah, right.
But I am still friends with Patty Stenger. But I think it was, so it's definitely season 4. It was the New York City season, mm-hmm. which Leah McSweeney was a bachelor.
Yep.
We saw. Well. Yeah, yeah.
So she's one of them. I'm one of them.
Okay.
Not the same episode, but yeah. When that, I didn't realize this was such a thing, but people went like out of nowhere, like,
wow.
Oh my God, do you realize you're on Millionaire Matchmaker?
Found you.
I'm like,
yeah.
I do, because I filmed it.
Do you realize?
But I didn't realize this show
was on Netflix.
Been out for like 15 years.
Right, exactly.
My season. Mm-hmm. Just adding it to Netflix would like be a thing, but it really is.
Whoa.
So there you go.
Okay, so we are definitely watching David's episode.
Yeah, definitely.
You'll yep. be like, oh my God, he's so nice now. Patty Aww. And I, we came together in COVID. Patty and I like reconnected.
Oh, really?
Like when she was on my show, and then it just like we've been friends since. But she's
oh,
really
that's
mean
nice.
To me. She's very mean to me in the episodes.
I'm sure.
She was pretty mean back then.
Yeah. She was mean, period.
Yeah, which is okay. Be mean to me. It's fine.
Oh, God.
Well, thank you for that tidbit that we will definitely be watching David's episode.
Yep, sure will.
And shout out to the Rose Garden. Shout out to everybody on the Rose Stems tier who voted as well. And we're going to dive into Millionaire Matchmaker next month. All right, let's dive into the recap.
Let's do it.
Okay, so we got a cold open. Ronnie Yacht, Maria, mm-hmm. and Sydney are heading to their 2-on-1. I love a 2-on-1 personally.
What?
I love to watch it. I love a 2-on-1 episode because it's always good versus evil.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like
true.
How they tee it up.
Yeah,
but I like that this one was interesting because the evil is supposed to be Maria, but it's clearly not.
So obviously Sydney, yeah.
And Sydney's just a delusional weirdo on her own little island.
Yeah,
like thinking.
Yeah. Yep. And you can tell, like, that she was the one that was going to go home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But yet, it was like, yeah, you really like, ugh, just get out of here.
Please.
Yeah. Not a Sydney fan.
No.
Nobody. So, back at the house, ladies are all sitting around, talking about the Maria and Sydney drama. Kelsey T in her confessional says it straight. She's like, I think Maria's intentions are good, but Sydney can't get over it until she's proven right. And I think that is Sydney's mm-hmm. biggest thing, is she wants to be heard that she is right. Here is how it is, Joey. She wants to be validated in that, and nobody's validating her, least of all Joey. So.
Mm-hmm.
Now the host arrives to let the ladies know they're going to Malta,
mm-hmm.
which is a beautiful island in the Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm.
Very pretty. Joey looked scrumptious per usual.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And anywhere Joey shows up in my notes, I'm just like, Joey looks hot. I love Joey's this. I love Joey's that. I'm sorry. It's just part of my commentary. He just looks good. So they check into their hotel. Descartes arrives. It's for Lexi,
mm-hmm.
which I think this is the best date ever. When you're in a new country and you get the explore city date.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best one. There's no like agenda for the date. They're just exploring and you're just hanging out and you get to feel like you're on vacation with your boyfriend or girlfriend. It's the first date where it really feels like you're dating this person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Lexi meets up with Joey. He already feels like they have chemistry, feels mm-hmm. very genuine and safe. They explore the mm-hmm. city, eating pastries, dancing. Of course, we get him saying, I feel like I'm walking around with my girlfriend.
Yep. Yep. Those are big words too. He said, "I feel safe and seen with Lexi." That's I feel like that's a big deal.
That's big.
Mm-hmm. When there's like 13 of them there, or 15 of them, or something. Mm-hmm. However many there are, that's pretty big.
That's a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Now back at the women's harem, Babysitter's Club. Jess, still so many people here.
Yeah,
Babysitter's Club. Mm-hmm. Jess, she's talking to Sydney. They're so shocked that Maria's still here. They are just, you know, talking shit per usual.
They don't know she's changing outfits. They don't know. She's got tricks up her sleeve. Mm-hmm. These are just clearly just immature people sitting around talking, thinking that they're better than somebody for whatever reason. I don't know why they think they're so much better than Maria. That's confusing.
Justice for Maria.
Seriously. Oh my God. I think we're going to get it because she's the star of the show. So I think we're going to get justice for Maria. Yeah.
And Sydney,
he's attracted to her. It's all good. Mm-hmm.
They're mad. They're big mad. That's really
right.
What it is.
They're jealous. Like,
they're just jealous. It's so obvious. And I hate to. I'm never the one that's like, she's jealous of me, or they're so jealous. Like, I hate that. But this is like clearly jealousy. Like, very obviously. Sydney in her freaking confessional says her brain is totally occupied by Maria, and it's starting to affect her mental health. And she needs to let Joey know what's going on.
Damn, Maria, girl. Do you know how that would be my Instagram bio? At Sydney's brain is captivated by me. Oh, my God. That means you that bitch, in my opinion.
Those are strong words.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I also just feel like Sydney's getting worked by her producer. Mm-hmm. Her producer is just
It was so bad this episode with her. It was so, so bad.
She's just like sat in these long interviews and her producer's like, yeah, Maria said this. And then she also told me this and like just making up bullshit. Like,
let's rile her up.
Yep.
So obvious.
Yeah.
So Lexi and Joey back on their date. They go to this beautiful cathedral. She, you know, got emotional talking about her grandfather. He was a painter. They used to go to church together, blase, blah. Mm-hmm. And this priest comes over and talks to them about having a family and making a marriage work and being happy. Now, Lexi reminds us in that moment that she has a medical condition that will affect her ability to have kids. So that's like her big revelation that she needs to share with Joey. Meanwhile, back with the ladies, group card arrives for everybody except Sydney and Maria. So they're going on the 2-on-1.
But
Sydney still, this is torture.
Oh my God, I've been put through the ringer enough. Now I have to go on a date with her. I can't stand it. The fact that she filmed, this is the moment I wrote this down in my notes. The fact that she filmed a devotional or confessional with overhead lighting and no like front face lighting. She was just desperate to tell anybody
who will listen.
Oh my God. Oof.
Yeah. It's not a good look.
Mm-mm. Right? Especially, I think, well, these girls don't know this as they're filming, but there may or may not be a paradise this season. So they're out here going absolutely apeshit crazy for camera time for a show that might not air.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah. I didn't think of that, but that's true.
Me neither. Mm. Yeah, her victimization is wild. I don't deserve this. I'm emotionally drained. I've been put through the ringer. I'm being tortured. God. Like,
oh, with the light, like, oh God, the shadows. I would refuse. I would never have a camera on me with just the big light on overhead. Never. Mm-hmm. Oh, Sydney, please.
Yeah, she's just sat in these confessionals, snapping her head off, going crazy. Now, back with Lexi and Joey. Loved Lexi's little cutout. Black maxi dress situation. It's very cute. Also love Joey's pink blazer. It looked very nice.
Yeah.
So they sit, they chat. She has an agenda. She's got to talk to him about her endometriosis. Mm-hmm. So she shares with him. She lived in LA. She moved to New York City. That's when she fell ill. And for about a year and a half, she didn't know what was going on with her until she was diagnosed with stage 5 endometriosis, which is a reproductive condition where I learned a lot. Honestly, I don't know nothing about no endometriosis.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay.
not a clue. I've heard of it, but I didn't know it was a reproductive condition.
Yeah.
Where tissue that's supposed to grow inside your uterus grows on your other organs. Mm-hmm. So she had a surgery, had everything, the tissue removed, but her doctor sat her down and told her that she may not be able to have kids of her own.
Yeah.
And she feels like she's always been called to be a mother. So that was obviously very tough news for her. And her ex, she, you know, told the news mm-hmm. from the doctor, and sounds like he basically broke up with her because of that.
Because of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is so wild, because endo is not even stage five endo. It, and like her doctor said, it's a maybe. It's not a yes. It's mm-hmm. not a no. Mm-hmm. So to break up with somebody for a maybe, mm-hmm. I mean, to break up with somebody over this is nuts anyway, but.
I don't know, though, because I feel like I can't judge the person, like her ex that she's talking about. Mm-hmm. If a strong value of his is to have children of his own, mm-hmm. this might be the deal breaker for him. And it's unfortunate, 1,000%. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't really have control over that condition. That mm-hmm. sucks, but mm-hmm. I feel like if that's his prerogative, it's best he get out now and leave her alone now versus mm-hmm. later. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it is sucks because you're saying no to someone based on a maybe. Like, she might still
exactly.
be able to have kids.
Yeah. Yeah. People with endometriosis have kids all the time. Like, it's not an end all be all. Yeah. So he really didn't want to go through it with her, though. Like, through the trenches. Yeah. With her
through the whole process, yeah, and really, you're kind of rolling the dice with any woman. Like,
hello,
that's the thing. There's no guarantee anyway.
Yeah,
no guarantee. Anyway.
Or you, sir.
Who or you, exactly. Yeah. That's true. So Joey, you know, says to her, you know, that's a lot to hold on to. It's not something that scares me. You know, there's other ways to have a child, you know, to have mm-hmm. a family, like adoption. And I know there's more to you than just that. And yeah, was saying all of the right things, all mm-hmm. of the things that Lexi deserved to hear in that moment, that she wants to hear in that moment. For me, I just had to wonder, is this how he really feels? Because mm-hmm. the only thing I really cared to hear from Joey or to hear about how he really feels is his value on having his own child. We hear him, you know, drop adoption. That's obviously going to make Lexi feel a lot better and more assured. But do you want to adopt kids, Joey? Or are you just saying that because this is what you know is going to appease this moment for Lexi?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I felt the same way about his conversation with Charity about interracial dating. Because they had that conversation on camera and he was very much trying to placate the situation because he's never dated a black girl before. Mm-hmm. And he was very nervous. Mm-hmm. And prior on that date, I remember she said that she was a huge fan of history. And so I'd be nervous too if that happened to me. But it was an answer that was very safe. And she even Charity answered or asked the question in a very safe way. Mm-hmm. So I see what you mean about it. Mm-hmm. Just not fulfilling.
Yeah, just huge conversations like this. The interracial dating question, the I may not be able to have my own kids. Like, I don't know how they can really do these conversations justice mm-hmm. because these are really meant for, like, the fantasy suites.
The fantasy suites, yep.
Yeah. 10 weeks from now. So
this is like, it's a lot for episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. Right. And their first one-on-one. Like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. they're just trying to keep the good vibes, and he's not going to send her home right now because he tells her, I actually want my own kids. Like, we're not going to get that. She's going to get the date rose, period, mm-hmm. whether or not he wants to adopt or, you know?
Yeah. And, well, we weren't there, but I would have loved to know if he asked her, like, how else does this affect you? If this is a reproductive disorder, women's reproductive hormones affect their whole life. So, like, how else does this affect you? And... how did your family take, like, I would have liked to see a little bit more of the convo as well, now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was definitely not enough. But yeah, everything ended well. She got a kiss.
Yep.
She got the rose. Yep. And she says she's falling for Joey. So all is well. Now, the next day, group day, they go to Fort Manuel, which is where part of Game of Thrones was filmed, apparently. So mm-hmm. that's cool. And the ladies do some sword fighting. They have on these crazy costumes. Joey's shirtless. Everybody's swooning.
Yes.
Were you that's swooning, David?
Well, I know. That's where you got him.
I think that's where he. That's where it all changed for me. Yeah. I think I was like, wow. I get it. He's hot. Mm-hmm. I always thought he was really hot. I just was like, is he the best ever? Like everyone's saying, I'm starting to understand it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I like the shirtlessness. Yeah, it was nice touch.
Yeah, we'll take mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they sword fight. They have this like weird staring competition with Joey. Yeah. They have to catch sausages in their mouth. Just
terrible.
Bizarre. Autumn is awarded more time with Joey. Not
Didn't
sure why.
No, she was there. God, I was like, oh my God, Autumn's still here? Okay.
Autumn's still
yeah,
there.
I'm not sure about that one.
Mm-mm. They didn't even show her time, poor thing.
They just showed them like making out. That was really it. So, time for the nighttime portion.
Mm-hmm.
Daisy, she's talking about potential kids' names.
Ooh.
I just can't get the music video out of my head. Like, they're really trying. The music that is matched with Daisy is so, like, delicate and sweet. Uh-huh. And it's like, sweet little Daisy. She's on screen. I am thinking about that fucking music video and that guy.
What is he?
Her auto-tune.
Slob on my knob, like corn
slob
on the cob.
Slob on my knob, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Daisy. I don't see any chemistry with Daisy either, but that's just me.
You don't see any chemistry with her and Joey?
No.
Really? Who do you think he has the most chemistry with so far?
Well, I think Kelsey. There's a lot with Kelsey.
Which one? For which sure. Kelsey? Kelsey with
The Kelsey
New Orleans Kelsey?
Or New Orleans Kelsey, yes. Mm-hmm. Not LA Kelsey, who
right.
is possibly going to just blow the whole thing for herself because she just can't handle any
emotional.
Of this.
Yeah, yeah.
She's about to really blow up her own game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think Kelsey, New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Yes. Maria.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Maria's really going to go that
all
far.
That far.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
And who else do I think? I think he's having to really question whether he's okay with like a risk of not having children because I think mm-hmm, they have mm-hmm. had great chemistry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
definitely. Yeah, Daisy. I
don't know. I can't really see it.
I kind of see it.
You do?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she seems super just like sweet and not. She's like the complete opposite of Maria, I think, honestly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think he likes the sweet girl. We saw it with Charity as well.
Yep.
So I agree. I don't know if Maria's going to go super far, but. Daisy's
yeah, I think
kind
she's
of
too hard around the edges for him.
A little too, yeah, rough around the edges. I don't know if that's the
Daisy
girl
to me. Just
for.
Seems like that they're going to be such good friends. Like just
friends. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I just we'll see. Maybe it's because she hasn't had a big emotional moment like some of the others.
Mm. Yeah. Well, right? Yeah. just sharing about her implant. Just so far. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they sit, they talk about potential kids and Joey wants twin girls. Must be a girl dad.
Very specific desire, Joey.
yeah.
They name their children.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Coco and Ocean.
Coco and Ocean.
so, yeah.
Interesting household. and Kelsey A, she, he loves her. I mean,
yep.
He literally tells her that. With all the girls here during the group day, he still couldn't stop focusing on her. He like told her that, gave her that validation. Like, I see you. I know we're not getting a one-on-one date yet, but like, I see you. I'm hyper-focused on you. Even just that sentence of all the girls here, I still, you know, I can't stop focusing on you.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to make sure she's like sitting tight.
Hanging in there.
hanging in there, girl.
Yep.
You are in my top two. I can't tell you that, but you're, you know, just chill out, please. And then, Kelsey T, he got some time with her. She's a bit nervous, obviously, because she's you know, not really getting time with him. And she shares with him, he's like, I like quality time. She says she needs some action. That's like what she needs. And can only get put so much in this process.
Yeah,
so.
This ain't the show for you, babe. But yeah, love
it's going to start to
unravel. But he really likes her, though, I think.
He does. He said in his confessional, his heart flutters when he talks to her. It's so natural. It's seamless. And he often gets lost when he's talking with Kelsey T.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she just needs to stay calm.
She does. Yeah. That's her biggest thing that needs to happen. Because we don't want her to implode.
No. Something. She's not there yet, but we see signs of it.
Mm-hmm.
So Sydney and Maria, their card arrives, something about the water. Sydney's still going on about being tortured. Babysitter's Club Jess, we see she shares with Joey that she's falling for him. So she's the first to reveal this, falling for you.
This is so early, girl. Ooh.
Very early.
With no one-on-one.
I was about to say, she's not had a one-on-one either. She's just watched the show before.
That's
she knows the
just
things
it.
That needs to be said. Yeah.
That's why she's the most annoying to everybody who's watching.
Mm-hmm. So the group date rose went to Kelsey T, actually. And I always agree with his group date rose.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always, whether or not I like the girl, whatever, like, I always kind of agree with, I think she deserved it that day.
Mm-hmm.
So I like how he awards these roses.
Yeah, I agree.
And he said another big thing about Kelsey T. He says, I've left every single group setting with Kelsey T being on the forefront of my mind.
Yep. He likes her a lot. Yeah. A lot. Yeah.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. I want to get them on a date. Like,
please. Oh my
That's
God.
That's a
it
huge
looks like...
statement.
Yes.
Every single group date, he's left with her on the forefront of his mind. What?
And this is the biggest cast we've ever had. There's like 18 bitches on one group date. So the fact that he's thinking just about her, that's a really big deal.
Mm-hmm. She's doing well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she has gorgeous orange clothes. I love all of her orange clothing.
Oh my gosh, she does wear a lot of orange.
Yeah.
No, Zessie said that. Now, time for the 2-on-1. Okay, what is the correct approach for going on a 2-on-1?
Don't go.
Okay.
Self-eliminate.
Really?
I think so.
If
I was Maria and I knew I had the kind of power that Maria has over Joey, I would write him a note, give it to the PA, and say, listen, either I want to talk to him 1-on-1 real quick, like up, you know, behind the scenes the night before, or I'm out. I'm good on this. And he can go and do a date with, you know, Sydney and have an awful time because they do not talk about anything. I know nothing about Sydney besides the fact that she owns a vintage store. So that is what I would do if I was the one who was actually the good one trying to prove that I'm good. I'm not going to prove to you that I'm good. I'm not going to do that. I think. What do you guys think, though?
Yeah. What do you think, David? How do you approach a 2-on-1?
I mean, like, it's just so risky because I feel like anytime someone speaks up, then they're going to say, you know, well, I'm not worth it. You know, I mean, geez, I mean, you should have taken any time you can get with me. And like, I could see that backfiring. I mean, I see your point too, but I could see them just saying like, you know, this is the process and, you know, you should like, if we're really going there, you should want any time with me you can get. I mean, now I take it personally that do you like me? And
right.
So, but I don't know. But I think less is more for the group date. You just, if you go, you go, and you just like let the other person, like you say, talk and have their moment, and you just kind of play coy. Because like, if they really are feeling you, they're just like more into you while the other person just won't shut up. So I say go, but just keep like a low profile. Like let the other person kind of steamroll the date and have them like have Joey turn to you and say like, you know, can I take you for a moment alone? That's how you do it. That's my advice. But I agree. They're very awkward. These 2-on-1 dates.
Very awkward.
Yeah.
I'm with you, David. I would go on the 2-on-1. I would probably play how Maria is, which is to kind of pretend like Sydney doesn't exist. just yeah. have a great time. I'm on a yacht in the fucking Mediterranean Sea. Like, I'm not going to be sitting here pouting. I refuse. Like, I'm blessed to be here in this moment. Absolutely not. I'm going to fully pretend like that other girl literally is invisible. Like, I don't see her. If she addresses me, I'll talk back. But I'm here to be on this date with him. And I'm just going to fully pretend she doesn't exist. So I appreciated Maria's approach because I was like, that's the way to do it, I think. As best you can. So yeah, they pack their bags, they head off, they meet Joey out on the water, and the difference between the two of them, Maria has gotten time with Joey, like one-on-one, like impactful, memorable time with him. Sydney hasn't. This is Sydney's like actual first time with Joey, and she's sitting here pouting and complaining.
Oh my god, my stomach hurts, my anxiety, oh my god, I can't.
Just talking about her anxiety is taking a physical toll on her.
No, girl. No.
Doing the absolute most.
That's something
Maria's
else.
Over here cracking jokes. She's trying to make the best of the day. Loving life. I am on a yacht in the middle of the fucking sea. Like, what is my life right now? How do you pout? How do you pout?
Oh, my God. Yeah, she's wearing one of Edwina's crochet dresses.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, there's something I gotta get off my chest, girl.
Tell me.
I've been low-key struggling with my relationship with my phone and social media. Just the over-accessibility these devices create, this addiction to Instagram, the distraction from everyday life and the people closest to me, it's been really stressing me out. I'm not even going to lie.
I mean, that makes sense. Content overload is very real, and staring at everybody's highlight reels can be overwhelming and can absolutely steal your joy and peace. Yeah. We carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. You all know we're huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout different stages of my life and areas where I've needed help, from eating disorders to new relationships to my ever-changing relationship with my family. Therapy has really helped me to set boundaries and prioritize my self-care.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/2BG1R.
Yes, cute little yellow fit.
Real cute little yellow fit with a little black bikini underneath. Looking real cute.
Yeah, looking real cute. Yes.
Sydney looks like she's about to clean her bathroom. She looks real regular. I was very disappointed by Sydney's outfit. Oh my god, the shoe was killing me. Did y'all see the shoe?
I didn't.
It was like one of them Steve Madden clodhoppers.
Oh,
from the back. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The flat in the back. One of them.
He was never failing Sydney.
No.
So her approach, Sydney, is to just lean in heavy to being the victim. That's her approach to the two-on-one. Mm-hmm. So it starts from being on the boat and pouting. He just needs to see that she's having a bad day. Now, Joey and Sydney sit. She tells this cockamamie story. When you left the pool party, Joey, all hell broke loose, is how she described it. All hell broke loose. God. Maria attacked me. Mm-hmm. She told Leah to shut the fuck up. And just every single situation in the house, Maria has been the common denominator.
Every single situation. Just this one? What is she talking about?
What are you? There's no other drama, girl. What are you talking about?
Nothing.
Now, Maria sits with Joey and she's like, I'm here for us. Like, I genuinely don't even want to be doing this. Right? Like, I want to spend our time furthering us. She fully denies the Leah shut the fuck up comment, which she says was a blatant lie, which I think it is. I don't remember her saying.
I don't remember that either. I don't remember seeing that. I don't know if that happened. I feel like they tell us, though.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like Leah would have been sat in an interview talking about it, and we didn't get that from her.
Yeah, definitely. As she should. That would be crazy. So I wouldn't blame Leah for doing that, but yeah.
Also, why is Sydney always speaking on other people's drama?
Because she don't know this man. So she doesn't even have anything to talk about, which is so odd. I feel like she does. She got two cats. She has a vintage store. She knows Ashley I feel like we have things to talk about.
But no, she don't talk
about. She doesn't want to talk about any of that.
Leah and Medina and everybody else's mess, but her own life. Joey doesn't know if he can get past this. He still doesn't know the truth at all because Maria saying one thing, Sydney saying the complete opposite. It's like there's no middle ground whatsoever.
And he keeps talking to Sydney first, so Sydney just spreads the lies, and then he just asks Maria if they're true or not.
That's exactly it. So Maria and Sydney, we get a little moment with them. Maria's literally is saying to Sydney, like, you know, we're on camera, right? Like,
love it. How do you feel about breaking the fourth wall, David?
I love it.
Do you?
I love and Housewives, anything. Yes, I love when the fourth wall is broken. I love it. I love it because, like, let us in. Like, this isn't, you know, 1999. Like, we all know how this works. So, like, I love when the fourth wall is broken. I love it all the time.
And, yeah, I felt for Maria. She was just like, why are you doing this to me? Like, what? Why me? Like, what is this campaign against me? You are on camera. Like, they're going to run the tape and see you blatantly lying. Why are you doing this? And she has no answer.
Nope.
Now, time for the little dinner date.
Yes.
Maria was wearing that dress, boy.
Listen, from 2003, that Hervé Léger bandage. Back in the day. I was like, wow, not the cap sleeve, babe. Not this. Oh, boy. And a mini and a deep V. Ooh, and we were slutty back then.
Ooh. And it was a nude color.
And it was, yep.
She looked great, though. She knew what she had to do.
Yep.
She knew what she had to do. If there's any dress to put on, is put on this almost naked-looking dress to try to get this man. That's what I appreciate about her. She knows how to use fashion, her sex appeal, in the right moments.
Yeah.
She's never really over the top with it. It's just, it's pretty subtle, but it's obvious also at the same time.
Yep.
Not mad. Now, Joey going into the dinner, he's like, look, I'm not going to get the truth. We're not going to get anywhere. So I just have to choose my best connection. And that's that.
Yeah.
So he obviously chooses Maria because Sydney, he knows nothing about her. So it was just obvious. So he basically walks her out and gives Maria the rose and says he's going to just try to work past this. And that's that. The production assistant goes back and grabs Sydney's suitcase, and Leah is like,
"Oh, bawling. Devastated!" Yeah,
she's not happy.
Yeah,
not happy. Her bestie is gone. Now, Joey, the cocktail party. He tells the ladies, you know, Sydney obviously isn't here. It's because our connection wasn't there, and that's that. So he gets some time with all the different ladies. Jen gets some time. Edwina gets to tell him that she likes him. Caitlin is so cute, but this crimped hair. Yeah,
what are we doing with this? It's the three-barrel curl. You know the three-barrel?
It looks like that.
Oh, yeah. I can't. I can't take it. Oh, man.
The crimped hair is not it, Caitlin. But she's so cute, and she's from, like, New Mexico. She's trying.
Yeah. She's, isn't she a radiologist scientist?
She's like a chemist. Yeah, she's a chemist from like out west. Like, yeah. She's trying.
Yeah.
Medina brings mm-hmm. him a little present. She also shares with him that her parents got divorced in high school. She's developed trust issues because of that. They do a trust fall.
Mm-hmm. No chemistry with these two. Shit.
Zero.
Oof.
Zero chemistry. I think also Medina, it's like, it's too little too late.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
She got swept up in that drama. And now she's like, oh my God, I need to drop my sob story real quick.
Yes.
It's too late, girl.
I think it speaks to your lessons learned, Tosh, about how, like, if you can win with the sob story, I think it's part of the formula now, but it really doesn't have to be. I think this is actually a case as to why it would not have to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is a time to bring up the happy times and, like, how, you know, Rachel always takes time to talk about her dad and, like, how much, we talked about this last week, about how much mm-hmm. Joey reminds her of her father and how nice it is and how wonderful. Like, this is the time to make that kind of memory, but this mm-hmm. sob story, I don't know if this is the time.
Mm-hmm.
Have some fun with it.
Yeah.
It's the beginning stages of dating. Keep mm-hmm. it light. Mm-hmm. But yes, I also love a good sob story on this show, and it does mm-hmm. get you somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, though, Justina. It needs to be, like, well-timed. Medina, mm-hmm. this is kind of a miss because you're already swept up in drama. He doesn't really know you. Like, he only knows you connected to drama in some way. Mm-hmm. He's now bringing a, like, downer kind of story. This is the time to pick it up. Kind of show, like, a fun side of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she read this wrong, I think.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now with everyone's moved on from Sydney, except for Leah. Nobody's even missed Sydney. Everybody's, mm-hmm. you know, cackling and kikiing and having a time in the house. Mm-hmm. No one's even thinking about Sydney except for Leah. And Leah is so shocked to see Medina has moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole drama started with Medina and Leah.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
So Leah takes it upon herself to pull Medina aside.
Oh.
And it's like, you know, I thought Sydney was one of your best friends. Now you switched up. You know, Maria comes into the room and you're like talking with her.
I don't know what I would do. At 31 years old, if a 23-year-old came up to me and said this, I don't know what I would do. Could you not laugh? Like sometimes my niece has like a fit over not eating enough like little goldfish crackers and starts having a fit and starts slamming on her table like that. I start laughing at mm-hmm. these tantrums.
Mm-hmm.
Right, David? If you're like the oldest girl in the house, right?
Yeah. I mean, she wasn't really feeling it, right? She was just, but I think she was like I felt she would have handled it differently anywhere else. But she's like, if we start yelling, we're going to have people mm-hmm. are going to notice. And mm-hmm. I think she realized at this point, I just got to stay away from all the drama. Cause like, this is too, I'm going to ruin my own chance here. So I felt she wanted to kind of say a lot more mm-hmm. in that moment. To
right.
Her friend, Leah.
Yeah.
I agree. Medina, in this moment, she got my invite to the cookout because I liked her response.
Okay.
I agree. I think she had a lot more she wanted to say. She probably could have got a little more rowdy with it because here is someone again trying to drag her into drama that she does not care about. And she went in on Leah in the best way that she could. And she said to her, just because I was friends with Sydney doesn't mean I have to be mean to Maria. I'm just mm-hmm. trying to navigate the situation as best I can. I don't appreciate being criticized for how I'm trying to navigate. Like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. move on, Leah. Get out of my face with this.
Yeah. And
oh my God.
Yeah. Being on the side of someone who's not even there.
Yeah. Right. Like, oof. What are you doing?
I don't know.
What are you doing?
Why?
Why?
There's no point to this. What are you doing?
No. Leah also gets my Becky of the Week for this foolishness as well. She just sucks to me. She sucked from the minute she threw that envelope in the fire.
The second honestly. She did it, she got my Becky of the Week for saying perspective eyes as if that's a real word.
What?
Yeah, she said perspective eyes. I was
I didn't hear that.
Oh, girl, you just left school. Perspective eyes. Oh, God.
Wait, what is she trying to say?
Even? I don't even know. She said, why, what would I, what I could perspectivize from this conversation?
Oh,
like, oh, girl.
I think I missed that.
Oh, man. That was, I was like, damn, that's rough. People make up words all the time, but that's one I've never heard before.
I've never heard. I don't even know what the origins, like what she was trying to say with it.
Oh, I don't even know where she's going. I know.
Where are you going?
Oh, goodness, girl.
She's just terrible. I just feel like she's so, to come on this show and to be so wrapped up and focused on another bitch is bizarre to me. You have this fine ass man in front of you. You're here to get a husband.
Yeah, it's like you're missing the point.
You're missing the whole point. Mm-hmm. And she, from the beginning, when she threw the damn envelope in the fire, I feel like she missed the point. She was already thinking about the girls and how they're going to perceive her for this and blah, blah, blah. Like, you're wasting your time. You're wasting Joey's time. You clearly aren't that hungry for a husband. It's giving, I'm 23 and I have time to waste.
Yeah.
That's what it's giving. I can go back out in the dating pool and find somebody else. I just started dating 2 seconds ago. That's what it's giving. Mm-hmm. Like, you're really not that hungry if you have this much time to waste on other people's drama.
And I guess when you're 23 and she talks about her friendships, I would go to war for my friends.
Oh, my
That's
God.
How it is when you're 23. You would go to war with for your
everything
friends.
Everything is a drama.
Everything is
drama. Yeah. Everything is like the maximum amount of fighting and love and all those situations. And when you're... actually have life experience and you are tired and you and your friend just go grocery shopping together like Medina, you can't be bothered with that kind of proclamation for other friends.
No. God, but yeah, Leah, that moment was like, they gotta stop casting these little kids.
Yeah.
I feel like we're at sleepaway camp and this is like the bunk drama. Like, why are we?
Yeah.
It felt so just like beneath Medina, beneath any of these older women on the show. Like, it just felt so beneath them and so like juvenile what she's trying to do.
Yeah, not my favorite.
So yeah, Leah, she sits with Joey. She's like, you know, a lot of us were really shocked, honestly, to see Maria come back, and is trying to now continue the Sydney rampage and waste her time with Joey talking about Maria yet again. And Maria, she's like breaking down producer. She's like threatening to leave. She's like so annoyed that she can't just have one night without her name in everybody else's mouth. Just one.
She just wants to, be left alone.
Just leave her alone.
Yeah, enough.
Now we go into episode 4. Medina actually goes to comfort Maria, which the irony of that. They both want nothing to do with this drama that started with the both of them. They are so far over it, but for whatever reason, these other little kids are trying to keep it going.
Yeah, and Sydney's not even that little. Sydney's 28.
Sydney was grown. That's true. She was older.
Yeah.
Acting like a little kid, though. When I saw Medina and Maria talking, I was like, I feel like the only way to squash this is if the two of them went up and talked to Joey.
Like, yeah, that would have been good. Yeah,
the whole drama that we're dealing with started with the two of us. You see us, we're good. Like, we are totally good. We're over it. We're focused on you. Leah, Sydney, they are the problem. They keep trying to perpetuate it. It started with us and we're chilling. So I feel like they could have done something, but I also get they like, we don't want to waste any more time with Joey on this period. Now, time for the roast ceremony. First roast went to Kelsey A. Caitlin, Daisy, Jen, Autumn, Babysitter's Club, Jess, Medina. And then the last rose obviously went to Leah, producer pick. So, gotta say goodbye to a POC.
Edwina. I loved what Edwina. She was,
I did too.
She was everything the audience was thinking.
She was. Her
Loved
confessionals
it.
Were much needed.
Mm-hmm.
Now they all head to the south of Spain this episode. Everyone is hoping to fall in love in Spain. Leah is ready to continue this drama. Going into Spain, that's how she feels. I'm ready.
I'm gonna live out Sydney's entire personality right here.
She's
Spain.
Like Sydney's legacy. Like literally.
She feels like that's her job as a friend
Mm-hmm.
of this girl she met 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. 2 seconds ago. Yep.
Oh my God, it's ridiculous. So Joey rides up on a Vespa. Mm-hmm. There's something about a man who looks like Joey, that exact archetype.
Yes.
A tan white man with dark hair, a gold chain.
Absolutely. Who is max 5'11". Don't be too tall on the Vespa.
Not
either.
Too tall.
Yeah.
Something about, and yeah, kind of looks Mediterranean, yet not too tall, and rides up on a Vespa. Something about that just whole image, that concept. Mm-hmm. Just gets you every time.
Definitely. Yeah, Matt James on the Vespa would have been crazy. It would have been looked like he was so on like tall. A little patrol bike. Like he would have looked crazy.
Yeah, would not be it. So he pulls Kelsey A for the date.
Mm-hmm.
They ride off on the Vespa.
I can't even imagine Kelsey T's whole, like the whole world flashing before her eyes when he said Kelsey A.
I know. Oh, God. Oh, God. That sucks.
She's having a tough time.
Yeah.
That's true. She's another girl with her name, and that other girl has a very obvious connection, too. That sucks.
Yeah.
Oof. They're all sat around getting emotional. Maria asks the ladies, you know, what would you do if you were Leah and you had the envelope from the first night? Would you throw it in the fire? Would you have taken it? Kelsey T, my girl, says she would have kept onto that envelope.
I know that's right.
Mm-hmm. She said, I might not have used it, but I would have held onto it.
How iconic would that have been if she was like, wrong Kelsey, and took it from her? Ugh.
Imagine. Oh, God. That wouldn't have been good because he loves that Kelsey been A.
Fabulous. What do you mean?
It would have been a great moment, but it would have.
He loves Kelsey A.
Yeah, he
loves Kelsey A. He does. I don't know.
He loves both of them, I think.
I think he really
different
likes
different ways.
Both, yeah,
but he likes both.
So Kelsey and Joey, they go off. They go to different markets and pick up stuff for a little picnic. And he keeps saying things like, "In a crowded room, I notice her." Like he's so struck by that beauty and that gorgeous hair
and that hair.
The hair,
yeah, yeah.
That'll get every man.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, honestly, I love it too. Her hair is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they sit for a little picnic, and she tells him that she's not falling in love, but she's tripping into it. She's starting to feel.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good phrase.
Feel the things.
Mm-hmm. I think that only makes him want her more. Like, right? You don't want to say falling in love right away.
Mm-hmm.
Make it like, you know, there's two people here. Like, you might be falling for me, but like, I have a say in this. I love that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Love that.
Keep him wanting more.
Yeah. Keep him wanting more.
Now, time for the dinner date. Kelsey A, I'm at a work conference dress.
Like, I was not feeling it. A mid-calf girl, please. And I know she's tall, like, too. So I know she's probably had a lot of mid-calf moments. But I did not like that high neck. And then the sleeve neck was weird.
Weird. I don't get it. He is like enamored by her. Imagine her in Maria's
Maria's dress.
Banded. Game over.
Yeah.
Game over.
Yep. Yep.
She would have been right like,
just keep it. Just hold on, girl.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dead ass. Oh my God. If it looks like it could be bought at Ann Taylor Loft or New York and Company, just don't pack it.
Don't bring it.
Right.
Don't bring it.
Don't bring it with you. Mm-hmm. Nope.
That's not going to be for any cocktail party, any one-on-one date. There's no, like, unless there's a group date where you're doing like a presentation or something, like reason to pack this dress.
Or remember, I think it was Colton season, or maybe it was Pilot Pete, I can't remember, somebody's one-on-one date was a date to a wedding with The Bachelor.
Oh yeah, that was on Peter's season.
I think that was Peter's season. I think it was what's her face?
What's her name? Maddie.
Maddie. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
Like that moment.
Maybe that.
That would be nice, but that was once in a lifetime. What the hell?
Yeah, not on a one-on-one date in the middle of Spain. Like, girl, no. So we learn a little bit more about Kelsey A. She shares that her parents were in the army. Her mom, 10 years ago, had gotten breast cancer and metastasized on her bones, and she was given 6 months to live, but she passed away after 2 months.
Yeah.
So obviously, she got very emotional, and you know, talking about it's really hard for her to think about getting engaged and her mom not being there. But just knowing that her mom would be really proud of her, and her dad told her some nice things as well before she left for the show, and Yeah, they had a nice little warm and fuzzy moment.
It makes him want her even more.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There is something.
This was the sob story, well-timed. Mm-hmm. He's mm-hmm. already into her. He's like, the more emotional you get, the better. Like, I just felt he was like all in there.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the sob story does for people, David? Especially on the, what is it you think it does for the lead? I'll say that.
I mean, I truly think that if you don't really like the person anyway, I don't think it makes you like them more.
More. Okay.
I think you're like mm-hmm. a human being and you're listening. But I just think if you are attracted to the person, it just, it's like, oh, the wounded bird, like, come into my arms. Like, I think, like, if you like them and you're feeling it anyway, you love a sob story. Mm. It just does push the needle mm-hmm. a little bit over the edge. I think if you don't like the person, it's not going to help change anything. You're going to say, well, that's sorry. Like, what a horrible thing that's happened. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to make you fall. But if you're, like, if you're just attracted to them anyway, I think it like does, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it makes you just want to go there. Mm-hmm. Like he was even a little teary eyed
mm-hmm.
when yeah. she was telling him this, which like you take like someone else that he's not attracted to. He would just be like, oh, you know, I'm sorry that happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely plays into the whole, like, the man being the protector
right.
thing.
It's totally, I was just going to say, yeah. like, totally stereotypical, but I could see it. I mm-hmm. could see it. Like, mm-hmm. I could see his wheels turning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just saw them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So he, yeah, they shared the little, you know, nice little moment, and he just tells her he's super excited about their potential, and... Mm-hmm. gives her a rose, and I think for sure she's going to hometowns. If not, she's in the
definitely.
Top two.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say really far, if not yeah. top two. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, a group date card arrives for everyone except Miss Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
And they meet, everybody meets with him at this beautiful villa, and they learn that they're going to have to express what they mean, express how they feel for Joey in one sentence, and then do a painting of mm-hmm. it, or something like that.
Yeah, a lot of arts in this one date, packed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. lots.
Yeah.
Now, Babysitter's Club, she basically painted an engagement ring and won.
They gave her that sure. for free.
They really just tossed her that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. They get to go off and do body painting, and she got some extra time, but I don't really understand that. Now, at the cocktail party, all the ladies get some time. Kelsey T shares with him that she has feelings for him, and it's getting really hard. And, you know, he tells in his interview, Kelsey T's been very patient,
mm-hmm.
and I know I care because it hurts me to see her this way.
Mm-hmm.
So I really am ready to see their one-on-one. I need to
so
I
was
just
ready.
Gonna say, it's like you think about her, you're this, you're that. It's time to give her a one-on-one date, guy.
Please.
Yeah.
Because they have something going on that we're not
yeah.
seeing, I guess.
They kind of jump cut it. Like they hug and then they talk, and then all of a sudden her legs are like on his lap and they're making out. And we're like, wait, what? Huh? What? And
right.
he's like, I really like her. I think about her all the time. I'm like, wait, mm-hmm. what happened? Yeah, I'm excited for the continuity
things.
To
yeah,
finally
yeah.
come in.
Yeah, like his confessionals and interviews are like not matching up with what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I believe you, Joey. Like, yeah. I believe you, Kelsey. But like, I don't. Can we get the one-on-one date, please? Maria gets her time. She shares her little story. When she was one, she got in a really bad car accident with her mom. And her mom went through just like severe depression. Seems like she wasn't really around for a part of her life. And yeah, just wanted to just kind of share a vulnerable moment, I guess, with Joey.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that sob story was like, her timing of it was like needing, this might not be the best way to say it, but like she needed a little bit of pity. She needed to put herself in a victim role in a way.
A little empathy from him.
Some empathy from him.
And I think it to me too, it does put into perspective how badly she really wants to be perceived as a girl's girl, considering that she didn't have her mom around for the beginning of her life. I think that's why it's so hurtful to her. Is that she's like, damn, I really like work hard at getting along with all these girls and like making mm-hmm. sure that I'm complimentary and that I'm encouraging people, and they take it the wrong way. And for mm-hmm. Joey, not for us as viewers, I don't need that sob story at all, but for Joey, mm-hmm. I think it is a nice empathetic pad to the lies that Leah is trying to spread about her now.
It is.
I mean, he didn't get as emotional as the Kelsey A sob story or the other sob stories.
Right.
But I feel it didn't hurt her, right?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it played to her sympathy, if anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Joey ends up awarding the group date rose to Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And Leah is just seething in the corner. Just a straight up hater in her confessionals and talking about Maria's putting on a performance and blah, blah, blah. Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rachel and Joey, they go off on their date. They are walking around Marbella and they happen upon this flamenco performance, which that was probably one of the coolest things I did in Spain, was go to a flamenco show.
Oh, you went?
Yeah. It was, I love dance. They're just like, performing arts in general, I guess.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Flamenco is really fucking unique. The women are so like commanding and like powerful, and you literally cannot take your eyes off of them, and you feel whatever confidence they got, like you want some of it for yourself. Mm-hmm. The way they're just like stomping around the stage, and it's like a really cool, just really cool form of dance. It's unlike anything.
Yeah.
It's like the complete opposite of ballet. It's like not delicate at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so empowering for women too. Women have a very commanding, so much of it is eye contact. So much of it is in the way your head is turned. There's a lot of like subtleties that women have to have in flamenco that are really, really dope. And the outfits, the costumery of it all. Yeah. Gorgeous.
Cool. Yeah. The drama of it. Love it. So of course Joey and Rachel, they learn how to perform flamenco, and then they have to perform it in front of a live audience, of course, and it's just too much. I would love to go see a show and maybe go walk around Marbella. I don't need to perform flamenco in front of other people.
No, like, that's so scary.
Now for their dinner, little date, they go have a little chat. She's talking to him about working in ICU unit as a nurse, and how dating a nurse can be tough sometimes because of her crazy hours and like the emotional support that's needed. Yeah, I would say that'd be for anyone, I guess, in a medical
profession,
right?
Yeah, because they're on call, especially if you're ICU. But
and then especially ICU, like her days are like emotionally taxing, right?
Yeah, right.
So it's either, and I don't know, maybe ICU nurses write in to blackwells@gmail.com. Like you're dealing with a lot of heavy emotion on your during the day that you kind of have to like check out of. You got to keep it very practical and logistical. You're doing the work. You can't be crying after every patient that dies.
Yeah.
You're probably dealing with a lot of dying patients every day.
Mm-hmm.
So coming home, like what is that coming home? Are you then just like an emotional, like, do you then turn on the emotion, like the valve totally goes all the way to the right when you're home with your spouse, and then they need to be of super strong emotional support for you, or
just have more in you to give.
Do you have more in you to give? Like, can you show up as, I wonder, like if you're dealing with emotions and high emotional things all day, like are you able to be an emotional support to your partner when you come home, or is that really hard for you? I had a lot more questions about what she was like saying and was saying she needs from Joey. Because I just couldn't imagine dealing with like dying people on a daily basis.
All the time. Yeah, especially.
But not reacting to it.
Right.
You kind of just treat it like it's your job. But then you go home. Who is that person at home?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially post COVID. And I think Rachel's pretty young. So for her to be an ICU nurse now through COVID, like she had to learn all that stuff through a time when the ICU was packed.
Yeah. Oof. So she obviously gets the date rose. That was that. Now, time for the rose ceremony. All the ladies are just stressed. Some of them are getting time. Some of them are not getting time. Maria interrupted Caitlin's time, which is very annoying because Maria has a rose already. I thought Caitlin was being ridiculous for...
Oh, for letting her?
Letting her and for being so nice about it, too. Like, if there's any moment to be a little snippy, it's this moment. When the girl has the rose and she's coming to steal your time.
Yeah.
This whole, oh, it's okay. It's okay. No, it's not okay. I would literally point out, Maria, you have a rose. All due respect. I need this time.
Yeah. I like would have said something.
Absolutely. But I don't know. Just they're... And I'm a girl's girl through and through. Like, I'm not, but I sound like such a manic bitch because I feel like in this house, I would operate so different. Like, I'm not here to, you know, start drama with people. I'm here hyper-focused on this man. And I'm putting myself first, period. And that's not throwing other girls under the bus. That's I'm putting myself first. So you coming up to steal time, you have a rose, Maria. I hear you. You want time. I need this time.
Right. Exactly.
Like, I would point out the obvious and make her feel dumb for even fucking asking me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In front of Joey.
In front of Joey. So he can also see the selfishness of her ways. And like, no. And I can still be friends with her after it. But I'm going to best tell my truth. Like, I'm here putting myself first. You cannot take this time. I'm sorry. You do you have a rose in your hand? You do? Okay. I'm going to need you to... Turn around because I need this time. We're not doing this, Maria. I'm so sorry. Oh, they're too nice.
I know. They are too nice. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, Babysitter's Club, she's losing it. Maria is her new
all
target.
All of a sudden, out of nowhere, she starts losing her mind.
She's taking it all out on Maria, which Maria... Hate it or love it or hate it, she's gonna get her man. She's here to get her man. She's hyper focused on that. She's gonna rub people's, you know, rub people the wrong way in her pursuit of that. But y'all need to take note and do the same.
I don't know.
And I like that she spoke up to her too. You know, I think she's like, you know, I've had enough. Basically,
I've had enough.
Just went through this with Sydney. I, like, you're all coming at me, and like, I'm coming for you now. Jess, like, what do you want? I just, it wasn't even over the top, but it was enough that I was like, good for you. Like, you're done with it already.
Let's be done with it. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yep.
So Jess is like, it's just, you're so disrespectful. They start bickering back and forth. Jess storms off, tells her you need to grow the fuck up, bitch, and is now off crying in the bushes with Leah. And I just feel like they're in their own little high school teen drama. Like, they're literally in their own little side, like, plot line that they're trying to create that no one wants any parts of. And y'all can go do that in the bush. I'm going to be here trying to get a rose from this man.
Right. Exactly.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now, time for the rose ceremony. Autumn and her dress got my Becky of the Week.
Oh, no. You didn't like this long sleeve cotton candy dress? You didn't like it?
My super sweet 16.
Aww.
Straight from the Windsor clearance rack.
No, not clearance.
2006.
No.
Bless her heart. This dress was hideous. I can't believe they even sell this dress in 2024.
God, Natasha, please.
It was just, God. It was so nostalgic. This dress would eat at a sweet 16 in 2006. In 2024 on The Bachelor, girl, you look ridiculous.
Oh no, I'm so sorry.
Just a mess. I can't.
Yeah,
but bless her heart.
Yeah.
Now, first rose went to Jen, then Kelsey T, Daisy, Leah, Lexi, Caitlin. Last rose, we have Jess, Autumn, and Medina left, and the rose, of course, went to Jess.
So annoying. Oh, I
was shocked at this.
So was I.
I really thought, I know you said before you didn't agree. I thought Medina and him had some chemistry, more than Jess at least. Like, I was shocked.
Yeah,
I really
more than
it
Jess.
Might have been her.
Yeah.
I think he's had more fun with Jess. He hasn't had fun with Medina yet.
Yeah.
It's been drama and then this last minute, like, sob story. That's all he's really gotten from her. So, he's choosing fun, I think.
We might as well just, I just can't have much more life left in her.
Can't.
I
I don't think so.
Yeah. It's not even just my dislike for her. I just see, no. Like, this could be your best friend. You know, go go hiking with her or something. But I see zero chemistry.
It's just not your wife. Mm-mm. Yeah.
No. He is not attracted to her at all.
Even on that body painting day, it was giving like cousins.
Cousins rolling around.
But not really. They were like, but they were like back to back. Like there wasn't that much like physical chemistry between them. They showed everything. And I was like, oh, damn. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's not it.
Yeah, that wasn't it for me.
Yeah. We do have to say goodbye to another POC, Medina. Who she can kick rocks. Honestly, very disappointed.
Wow.
She was crying over not getting to know Joey. I feel like he didn't get to know me, blah, blah, blah. She messed up from the beginning. She messed up when Joey sat down. The producers made him sit down with her and pressed her about the drama in the house, and she fell into the trap. And since then, it's just been trying to climb out of that. And it really started with that one decision. Don't lean into drama.
Yeah.
Don't fall for it.
Don't take the bait.
Don't take the bait. You get very sparse moments with this man, sometimes in like 5-minute chunks of time.
Yeah.
Do not waste that time talking about anything that has nothing to do with just you and him.
Yep.
So she, she's crying. I'm sure she has tons of regret. And she's also, again, one of the oldest in the house, blah, blah, blah. And she played this so poorly as one of the oldest in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. That was her main hang up.
Yeah,
it's not even to her detriment because Lexi and Kelsey T are both in their 30s. So,
and you saw Kelsey T had that TikTok where it's, I didn't hear the audio, so I don't know what the music was playing over it, but I'm sure something funny. But it's her sitting during the moment where they're all like going back and forth, all the girls, and she's sitting in the cut, like quiet, because she's like, do I tell them I'm also 31?
Right.
She's also 31. Yeah. And it's like, no one needs to know. This is not going to be a storyline. Like, and she was also, quote unquote, an old head in the house, and nobody knows, nobody cares.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Ridiculous. Now, their next stop, they are going to Montreal.
So, that's exciting.
That is exciting. We did get a little preview for next week, or I guess for the, I guess for the whole season, I think. Really? Yeah. They go to Montreal. We see Daisy and Joey horseback riding. We see Rachel telling him she's falling in love. We hear Joey, not sure who he's talking to, but hear him say, I'm not waiting any longer. I do want you to know I'm falling in love with you. We see Joey just on cloud nine, just having a blast. We see Caitlin crying to Joey. We see Jess crying, saying she feels forgotten. I feel like poor Jess is like hanging on to that kiss. They had the first kiss, right?
From night one. I forgot about that. Damn, Jess. Yeah, she did have that. Okay.
See, she is forgotten.
Yeah, and Leah had the first impression rose, so they're just two peas in a pod.
Boy. The forgotten two. Yep.
Man.
A lot of girls crying, feeling insecure. Maria telling Joey, I don't know if I could do this anymore. So, of course, she's going to bring the drama. Threatened to leave. And then, some girls saying, just voices. We don't see who. I still have a lot of questions. I'm worried we're in completely different places. Someone is going to write Joey a letter
that says, come here now.
We need to talk.
We need to talk today.
And again, that final moment of Joey crying and saying, this is my worst nightmare coming true. I have to hope she feels the same way, and I don't know. And him crying at the end. So, don't know what that's about.
We'll see.
Can't wait. Now, Justine, remind me your lessons learned. What?
Yeah, mine was, should you even go on a 2-on-1 or should you just self-eliminate right then and there? I mean, I'm outvoted with both of you. Both of you said that you should go on the 2-on-1 and just try to embarrass the other person. I think that is a great idea if the other person is erratic enough to do so. And I think Sydney could have gotten there if Maria wasn't charged up. And Maria's like pretty charged up all the time. But I'll never forget that girl who got picked up by the helicopter in the island. I don't know which season that was. I think it was Ashley I.
I remember. I think, oh, was it Ashley I? That does sound familiar. There was a, I think I want to say like Ben Higgins season. That might have been Ashley I.
Yeah.
They're like left on an island and the helicopter drone was like.
Yeah, came to got her and was like, no, you can't even be here anymore. Like that moment is pretty, pretty iconic. So that would be nice. But I guess, so I guess you should go on the 2-on-1. I was very much anti, but go on the 2-on-1, see if you could embarrass the other person. But for yours, Tosh, yours is more serious.
Yeah, can you for real. Can you make it far without a sob story? Mm-hmm. I don't know the stats on this. Bachelor data, I don't know if you've done any deep dives on people with sob stories or not. I think it is kind of like a rite of passage, like getting your mm-hmm. moment with the lead to present something traumatic that happened in your life and how it shaped you. And I do think everyone kind of has to share something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, I don't know, because it's not even about the sob story itself. It's about you kind of sharing something that shaped you.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And made you you. Yeah. So if you don't have that story, it's like a big void. So mm-hmm. how did you become the woman you are? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's kind of what the sob story, like the point of it is, not necessarily mm-hmm. just to like make him feel bad for you. It's to like share this pivotal thing in your life that really made you who you are. And if you don't have that, I don't know how far you would make it on just like laughs and fun and sex appeal. Like, I don't think it's possible, really.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Because at that point, you're just, you're not a full person.
Mm-hmm. You gotta come on and just open up like right away, mm-hmm. whether you want to or not. Mm-hmm. Like, the time is so limited. You just gotta put it all out there.
You have to, yeah.
Whatever it is, because otherwise, I just don't think you have a chance.
Mm-hmm. And it, yeah, what makes it difficult is like this happens in every relationship. You get to a point where, you know, past all, you go on maybe 5-6 dates, and then like date 7 is when you're like, all right, I'm going to share this thing. Mm-hmm. Because now you've established some comfort with this person. Mm-hmm. It's just that more difficult on this show because you're doing it with essentially a stranger. Mm-hmm. It's like,
mm-hmm. And it's not dates.
And really it's expedited time.
Yeah, it's like convos, mm-hmm. little 5-minute conversations.
Little 5-minute convos. Yeah. But yeah, I think you have to, I don't think you can make it far without a sob story. So I think as a contestant, you kind of have to think going in, like, what is my pivotal story I'm going to share?
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, yeah, that was the episode, my friend.
That was it.
David, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
This was so much fun. We'll have to do it again.
Yes.
And everyone could listen to you when you guys are on my podcast, mm-hmm. Behind the Velvet Robe.
Tell everyone where they can find you, where they can listen to you, anything fun you have coming up.
Yes, you can listen to me, Behind the Velvet Robe. It's on Apple, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts. You can find us on Instagram at Behind Velvet Robe. Instagram did not want a very long name, so there's no the. So it's Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We're on YouTube, but really you can listen to us. It's Behind the Velvet Rope. It is now a 7-day-a-week interview and reality TV gossip show. And people love it when I just do the gossip and the recaps as much as the interview. So it's really 50-50.
Well, thank you, David. Everyone check out Behind the Velvet Rope podcast and all the things. Rate, review, subscribe. Find us on Patreon, Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff. And we'll be back next week.
Sure will. Bye, guys.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.